The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 23rd of January. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon. James chuckling away in the background. Yeah. Marvellous. What's marvellous about him?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, listener.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Isn't it nice to be back?
I mean,
gosh, it seems like an age ago that I was last on before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, because you haven't been on since Christmas, have you?
No,
absolutely.
The time has...
So did you have a nice time?
Gone really quickly. What, are we talking about Christmas?
Christmas, yeah, yeah.
I did, thanks. It was really nice, yeah. Really nice to just have a few days off and see Mum and Dad and get thoroughly spoiled. Oh, do you know what? I got so spoiled this year.
Did you?
The Christmas presents I got were unbelievable. I mean, I'm a bit of a golf nut, as you know.
Yeah.
And
did you get some balls?
Well, I did get some balls.
Were they monogrammed?
But that was just that was one of my smaller presents.
Was it?
So, and my wife is she's terrible at buying stuff for me because she's so giving. Mm. And whenever she buys me something, if it's for my birthday or Christmas, she gives it to me immediately.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. Here it is. I bought you this for Christmas. It's like, Tibbs, it's March, you know. But last year she bought me one of those Garmin watches, which is fantastic on the golf course. I mean, I'm not an early adopter.
For finding your ball.
Exactly. For telling you, you know, where you are on the course and, you know, if you kind of get a bit muddled.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely brilliant. And I must say, Jane... You are an early adopter because you're a technology person, but I've never been an early adopter. Ah. And so, you know, all my friends have had these for years, and I've kind of poured scorn on it and thought, you know, I don't need that gimmick. What do I need that for? But actually, now that I've got one, it's made a massive difference to my game.
Did it take you very long to adopt the watch? You know, did you have to read the instruction manual?
I just went straight into it. It was fantastic. I could understand it. But the point is, my wife bought me this in the summer.
Right.
And she managed to hold it back until Christmas.
Oh, so it was a surprise.
So it was a genuine surprise, which never, ever happens. And then the other one was, I needed a new golf battery. And I just, my mum literally rang me up the week before Christmas. Oh, have you thought about Christmas presents? You know.
What's a golf battery?
Oh, sorry, I've got an electric trolley, so I don't have to carry my clubs. But my battery's had it. I mean, I it's really old. It's an old lead acid, really heavy battery, like a car battery.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, it's lithium is all the rage. And I just happened to mention, you know, on a phone call, literally a week before Christmas to my mum, I need a new golf battery at some point, but, you know, they're ever so expensive, so let's not worry about that. And my mum just
that
dismissed
was subtle,
it.
Wasn't it? That was so subtle.
My mum just dismissed it. She went on to talk about turkey or something. You know, what do you want for Christmas dinner?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh well, that's the end of that then. You know.
Yeah.
And I got a new battery on Christmas Day. So my dad was listening in the background. Apparently, went straight on the internet and ordered one for me.
Wow.
So I have been thoroughly spoiled.
Absolutely.
Really, I don't deserve it, but I'm very grateful.
That is true. and also, Martin.
Yeah.
You gave me a big lecture before we went on air about changing the format of the show.
Yes, I did.
And then you haven't done it.
Yes, well, I have been mentioning Jane.
You did promise. No, I'm going to hold you to account here. Did promise to introduce our guests first
up. We have some wonderful guests today. We've got Jane from Invicta Linux.
Thank you very much for having me. Delighted to be here.
All the way over from sunny Margate.
Sunny Margate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got Pete Bresser from Bresser Photography and Digital Media.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so it's great to be back on the radio.
Brilliant.
Good.
So we're hoping Jane and Pete are going to join in.
Yeah, with a conversation.
As and when it suits them. Yeah,
absolutely.
When they feel like it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And also, of course, we want you out there, the listener, to join in with a conversation too. And you can join us in all the normal ways. You could, in fact, call us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233. 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me, Vanilla Web, and use the hashtag BBunker. And we have already had over a trillion tweets.
We have actually had a lot of hashtag BBunker tweets today, haven't we?
We have had well over a trillion. I've counted them.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a Diane Abbott number, that is.
Are you going to read one out then?
No, you can.
Oh, okay.
I'll read one.
No, I'm going to read one. No. Laura Burton Lawrence has been on. She says, tuned in. And she also said that Pete did a photo shoot for her a while back and how delighted she was with the results. So
we did. Well done, Pete. It was a fantastic shoot, actually. It was just before Laura was due to do the community radio show. And in fact, we did, because I knew her anyway, she came to my house and we did the shoot in my house. It was great.
Well, Laura is incredibly photogenic, so I can't imagine it was a difficult shoot. So.
It wasn't a difficult shoot, no, because, and we got on very well. And one of the things about this kind of work with headshots, corporate headshots, is when you develop a relationship between the sitter or the person that's having the photograph done and the photographer, things just get so much easier.
Are you saying you and Laura are having a relationship?
It was a very brief relationship. Oh, okay. It was 1/25 of a second.
Okay, all right. We'll let you off.
Is that a shutter speed?
Yeah.
Right. Cool. Brilliant. We'll come back to that later.
Well, I've had a tweet from Sage UK.
Sage?
Yeah, Sage UK.
Sage and onion stuffing?
No, Sage, as in the accounting company.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you know why they've tweeted me?
No.
They want a shout out.
They do want a shout out. They've asked for a shout out, but I've been lucky enough to be nominated for the 2018 Sage Top 100 Global Influencers on Small Business.
I saw you tweeting about
what number are you?
The other day.
55.
Mm. 55.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
The year I was born, actually. That's really interesting.
I did try and find you on that little infographic you sent. It was so small, though, that I had to look it up on the website, but I did find you.
Oh, good man.
And I noticed Janice Gordon then tweeted and said, I'm number 5 or something.
Yeah, she's so, above me.
She kind of stole your thunder a little bit.
No, quite right. No, she deserves to be above me. She's very good. But Sage UK have tweeted, well, they've actually forwarded a tweet from somebody else who says that only 56% of small businesses dedicate someone to gathering market intelligence. Now, the reason I'm reading this out is we were having an off-air discussion about this just before we went live. So Sage have asked me, and Janice, as it happens, why do you think a lot of SMEs don't invest in market intelligence? And they've asked that question. Mm. So, and it could be interesting to answer. Anybody got any views on why nearly 50% of SMEs don't invest in market intelligence?
Do we have to define market intelligence? Then?
Yeah, I think what they're referring to here is gathering data about the marketplace that they're active in. So potential clients, what's happening in that marketplace, what the competition in that marketplace is. I'm kind of doing the kind of things that I do when I'm looking at market intelligence, like who's going up, who's going down in terms of market share, what their offer is, what their price points are, basically everything about the market space that you're in.
Just thorough research and your competitors, really.
Yeah, and research basically on who's fading out of a market and who's coming in, what would they call it, the old SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. Mm. You know, who's coming, who's new on the block, that kind of thing.
Well, you said an obvious one, didn't you, which was cost.
Yeah.
You know, how much is it going to cost me?
Yeah.
And time is obviously a factor there as well.
Yeah.
It's a resourcing issue anyway. I mean, with small businesses being, you know, anything from, you know, one person through to maybe 10 people, if you don't really have the resources available to do that, let alone the skill level, then, you know, you're more likely to forego some of that market research and
I think skill level is interesting as well, because I think it is a specialised thing. I mean, I remember when I used to work in agencies in London, in creative agencies, and we were asked to do a competitor review. It's like, oh, no, not the competitor review.
Hmm.
You know, it's one of those kind of tick-in-the-box exercises rather than actually learning anything intelligible from what everybody else was up to. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a specialist thing.
It is, really. You have to get the raw data to work from. I don't know how you
You've got to know how to use that information.
You've got to know how to research. Yeah.
But one of the things we were talking about off-air before we came on, and we were sort of having a bit of a moan about the same old kind of business conference format that you know, all of us get frustrated with. But when we were at the Kent Business Summit a couple of weeks ago on Friday, the format of that was workshops. Mm. And one of the workshops that I attended was all about how to export.
Yep.
So, you know, that for me was all about understanding how I can access resources mm-hmm. that are paid for
yep.
in order to help me get that market intelligence that I need to take my product overseas.
Mm.
So, you know, again, it's a lot of it is signposting and knowing where to go and get the information.
That's actually a very good point as well, because the summit was staged at the University of Kent at Canterbury. And, of course, the universities, especially UKC, have great research departments, and they're quite willing to share a lot of their data with you at no real cost, especially if you agree to participate in future data gathering exercises. So there are resources available done by professionals where there is data around. And you're right, it's a question of signposting to a large extent.
And, you know, I think a classic problem with any kind of public sector funded stuff like that, it doesn't matter whether it's research or grants or whatever it is nobody knows about it.
Mm.
You know, they're so bad at telling people what they do. They've got these brilliant departments, you know, UKTI, which is now DIT, I think. You know, I didn't even know it had been rebranded.
No, absolutely.
You know, so they haven't told anybody they've rebranded. And if I search UKTI, I probably won't find them anymore.
Yeah.
But the service they offer is incredible because, and again, this kind of coming back to what's wrong with conferences, the beauty of that was it was a workshop-based conference. So you could learn from people that had been there and done it and participate and engage as opposed to having somebody stand on a stage and tell you what they know all about business. You know, a self-proclaimed business guru telling you what they know about business, but nobody's ever heard of them, frankly, you know.
Yeah.
It's very interesting what you're saying. And also, just going back to UKTI, of course, one of the things that people didn't know, they have representatives in each of the regions.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
It's not just a central government thing. There's local representatives. But knowing who that person is really difficult.
So the guy on the day was able to give me three names, contact these three people.
Yeah.
So I walked away from that, you know, an hour workshop with, you know, the process that I needed to go through in order to start that process, if you like.
Absolutely.
Which was superb.
So cool. What was the name, Martin, of the organisation that's based at? It wasn't anything to do with Kent University, I assume.
It was the Kent Business School that hosted this particular workshop. But the exporting organisation is now the Department for Industry and Trade. So it's DIT as opposed to UKTI.
KTI,
But, you know, all the grant funding is still there and, you know,
I think there's just less of that kind of stuff around, though. I mean, a couple of years back, well, 10 years ago now, I was working for an environmental consultancy, which we were funded by CEDA, so the South East of England Development Agency, and there was a lot of work there that they did and gave you the signposting to the various funds that were out there. And one of the things that they were doing very well at the time was to to help you find people within universities where they had very specialist skills to enable you to do research or even R&D.
Mm.
Now, the R&D, as far as I understand, R&D funds are still available and can help companies do more to find out, you know, the best way of progressing their products.
Oh, technology transfer funds. And there's two levels at UKC, I happen to know, there's two levels of technology transfer. You can do large-scale, big, really big, you know, five-year technology transfer projects, and you can do small six-monthly ones. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things available. And I think part of it, though, comes back to the issue of wanting to find out in the first place. Because, to be fair, there are easier ways of finding things out now than there ever used to be.
Right.
You know, because you
internet.
Just Google it for a start.
Yeah.
You know, I make Amanda laugh all the time because I claim that Google just invented Google for me and for my personal use because I Google absolutely everything. If you say something to me, I'll Google it just to check.
So you're saying what business owners aren't thinking enough outside the box?
Yeah.
They haven't got the get up and go to think, actually, there's an opportunity.
I need this data, might I find it? Yeah. Do you know what? I might try the local business school at the local university.
Yeah.
That's a good place to start. So I'll find someone in the business school, I'll contact them and go, do you have any research data that I can access for this? Or even one of the things that I used to use a lot in the days before the internet was the Institute of Directors help desk. They had an information help desk. You could ask them anything.
Mm.
And as a member, they go away, come back a week later with a huge pile of documents and go, there you go.
We used to use the Chamber of Commerce as well. I mean, that's another really good set of resources available to you.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So loads of resources.
Right. So no excuses.
Absolutely. Get on with it.
In answer to that question, just get out there and do it.
Do it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've got loads of things going on. I want to tell you about this. Tracy Ferguson on the Twitter has asked me to let you know about a free interactive workshop for kids aged 8 to 11 that's taking place in Sittingbourne. And she's asked for a Business Bunker shout-out for the workshop, which has been written and being co-delivered in the February half-term with a lady called Freya from Wellbeing People. And the themes of this workshop are Strengths Talk, Express Yourself, and It's Okay to Be Different. Now, if you want to find out more about that, which I suggest you do, especially if you have children in the Sittingbourne area or Swale area, aged 8 to 11, follow Tracy on the Twitter. And Tracy's Twitter handle is Tazzy, T-A-Z-I-6-4, Tazzy-6-4. And Freya's Twitter handle is Wellbeing People, all one word, Wellbeing People. So do give them a follow and find out more about their Sittingbourne workshop in the half term. I'm going to tell you about this
Pete,
now.
You might want to get involved with that. It's a very kind of creative thing right up your street.
It is. I have done some work with children in the photography area for local schools and getting them to understand more how to use the cameras they've got access to, which is usually on smartphones or iPads, because they're incredibly powerful cameras on them. You just you need to understand more about how to get the most out of that particular device.
Absolutely.
Can I read a quick tweet from our friends at the Marlow Theatre?
You can, very quickly,
Paul Turner, who was on...
He's been on the show,
a while back. Mm. So he says, "Hi, Business Bunker, did you see that we reached 100,332 seats on the Panto this
year?" That's amazing. The capacity of the theatre is, just over 1,000?
1,500, I think. Tops.
Well, okay.
So, I mean, I went to that Panto.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did. It's behind me now. But
yeah.
Until this year. But it was absolutely brilliant. This year it was Peter Pan, and a couple of local artists were in the show, Mrs. Smee, and they were absolutely brilliant. So, well done, Marlow Theatre.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I think they're now actually, they've transitioned, haven't they, from being council owned being owned by a private enterprise, a charity, being run as a charity.
Yeah, independent business.
Really exciting times for them, but yeah, brilliant. Well done.
Fantastic. I want to tell you about a Networkers Networking event, which is a full-day event all about networking, helping business owners to be more productive with their time and to make great connections. Set in the stunning location of Eastwell Manor, just outside Ashford, taking place on Thursday, the 8th of February, between 9:30 and 3 p.m. There are three great speakers. 10 of the best networking masterminding groups in Kent will also be there. And there's going to be, they've put 50 plus here, but they're already past that in ticket sales. So there's going to be a lot of people there. And in fact, I happen to know there's only 10 tickets left for the early bird. So if you want to get the early bird prices in, you need to get in now. The speakers are going to be Ash Lawrence, Deborah Turner, and Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. And then... there's an early bird booking. There's 10 tickets left on that. It's £17 to attend the event, which includes refreshment, but not lunch. If you want lunch as well, it's £20. And that's the early bird. And if you miss the early bird, it's £26 to attend the event and £30 for lunch. And to find out all about it and to book your place, it's butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE.
Fantastic. Good. Coming up soon. We've had a tweet from New Appointments Group.
Yep.
Our friends from New Appointments Group.
Discovery Park.
Yeah. A big shout out, please. Only a few more weeks to get your nominations in for the Kent CIPD Awards. Mm-hmm. New Appointments Group are proud to sponsor Innovation in Recruitment Award. So fantastic. Yeah. I know they're always involved with that, aren't they, every year? So a really, really good thing. Yeah. So, yeah, good luck with that, guys. And I'm sure it'll be a cracking evening again.
Yeah, they're celebrating 43 years in business this year as well.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Really good work. Yeah. Real rock of the Kent business community, our New Appointments Group.
Yeah.
Andrew and the team there, so all power to them. Do you know what? I'm going to play some music. I'm going to indulge because it's my eldest's birthday today, and this came out at the time he was born as well. So here you go.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, happy birthday. Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live, register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 23rd of January. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Twitter's going bonkers, isn't it?
It is.
I'm beginning to understand how rude it is to sort of bombard you with texts and things when you're live on the show, because it's just so hard to keep up with it.
It is really hard to keep
and
up.
I'm always guilty for that. I'm always giving you a
ribbing. You text me, don't you?
While you're live.
He texts me and tells me about my style and how I'm not talking properly and how I ought to improve my presentation style, you know, normal Martin stuff. Yeah. And I'm going, Martin, I'm busy. Yeah.
All that important sort of confidence building stuff when you're live on air, that kind of stuff.
And just trying to help.
Yeah, that's me.
It's all done in the spirit of, improving things.
The best possible taste.
It's all done in the best possible taste, yeah.
No one else listening will know who Kenny Everett was.
Or Miss Cupid.
Yeah. What was her name? Rocco?
Cupid. Oh, his glamorous assistant.
She was lovely.
Yeah. She was gorgeous.
Yeah.
We've got so much to get through, Paul.
We have. And I want to tell you about the Marsh Networking Group. They've got an event tonight at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6:30 at the Ship in Dymchurch. That's in the High Street in Dymchurch, and that's the Marsh After Hours Networking. And then Wednesday, the 7th of February, they've got Networking Over Coffee, 10 a.m. at the Sinkport Arms in New Romney High Street. And then they're back at the Ship for the evening, After Hours Networking, on the 20th of February at 5 p.m. And then they're back over coffee on Wednesday, the 7th of March, at the Sinkport Arms in New Romney High Street. So do check them out. That's basically... Terry's running it.
At Tiddy Botty.
Yeah.
And they've got a Facebook page as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So Terry started that from scratch.
We went to the first one, didn't we?
Q3 last year.
Yeah.
And brilliant. So well done for getting that off the ground and staying with it, Terry.
Yeah.
There is so much going on this week. It's unbelievable. I've got to rattle through some stuff.
Go for it.
So for all those people of a Scottish persuasion...
Oh, wow.
great accent that was.
Thank you.
Give us your...
See you, just shut it up.
I think we'd better move on. So that's Rabsy Nesbitt over there on the other side of the desk. But on Thursday, again, at Eastwell Manor, they're celebrating Burns Night. So it's a black tie gala evening.
Are they having haggis?
They will be having haggis. In fact, there is an address to a haggis, which I think is part of the traditional Burns Night ceremony, isn't it? They actually bring the haggis in. At sort of shoulder height, I think, you know, they carry it in.
Usually
and
piped in.
Yeah, piped in, there you are, and there's a formal kind of MC that
addresses
the
haggis.
Haggis. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. In real so, Rabbi Burns style.
All of that.
I've done that a couple of times. I was actually...
What, as an MC pretending to be Scottish?
I was just going to quickly tell you the story. I was paid to MC presenting the haggis at a Burns night, okay? And I learnt. Because the haggis address is a long address. And I learnt it a week or so before the event.
What, in your finest Fulham accent?
No. Yeah. In the Cockney version, isn't it? All right, mate? Yeah. It's a bit of haggis, eh? Bit of sheep innards, eh? And I learnt the whole thing off by heart. And then the day before, the guy rang me up and he went, we do want it in Lowland Scots, you know.
Yeah.
And I went, nah, get out of it. I went, nah. And he went, yeah, it's got to be in the traditional rugby band's Lowland Scots.
Of course Scots. It has, yeah.
So I had to learn that as well.
You didn't just get a tape recording and play it?
No, no, I had to do it.
You
I
actually,
had to
well, do well it. Give us a bit then, come on.
I can't remember any of it now, it's years ago.
How did you learn it in such short notice?
Oh, those days, I had a memory.
He's a brain. $1 billion brain.
Yeah.
Anyway, £65 per person, it's this Thursday. So it's black tie or traditional dress, of course, kilts without underpants, I guess that is. Or and why not?
That's just cultural stereotyping or something, isn't it?
Why not stay the night?
It might be true, actually.
Actually, this is a brilliant deal because you can actually stay the night for £85 per person, which includes your breakfast the next day and full use of the spa facilities. So reservations at eastwellmanor.co.uk or eastwellmanor.co.uk is the website. So that'll be a brilliant evening.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Deborah Turner, U-Image Consult, on the Twitter. She says, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web, can we have a shout-out, please, for the 8th of March, International Women's Day, with Breakthrough Women in Business, in collaboration with the FSB, FSB Women, the IOD Kent, Metis Women, and Women in Business Medway. So, there you go.
Also on Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
If you don't fancy haggis, traditional haggis and black tie, mm-hmm. you can go for a curry and beer. And do some networking at the same time with Kane and Beer, who are coming on the show.
Is that Scottish curry?
In March.
It's haggis curry.
It's haggis curry, yeah.
Well, if you...
With a little side of deep-fried Mars bar.
I'm sure that might be on the menu. Yeah.
And a few neeps and tatties. Yeah.
And a few pints of
wine. I like neeps and tatties. I really do like neeps and tatties. I'm on a diet at the moment, though, so I have to avoid that.
Anyway, this is Thursday night. It's curry and beer with Kane and Beer, your Bromley bookkeepers, at the Kosturi restaurant, which is actually in Hayes, just outside Bromley. It's 6:30 kickoff. It's a very informal networking evening, obviously, and it's £25, and that includes all your food and your first pint of beer or glass of wine, whatever, or even a mineral water, whatever your favourite tipple is.
Fantastic.
So the best way to book onto that is have a look on the Kane and Beer website.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Ash Lawrence of Ash Mindset. It says, hi, Paul, Vanilla Web, please give a shout out on the Business Bunker for our new book, The Entrepreneur's Business Club. It's in aid of Street Soccer, CIC, and he says cheers for doing that. So you can order it from Amazon. It's called The Entrepreneurs Business Club, and a number of entrepreneurs have contributed to the writing of the book, and all the proceeds from the sale are going to Keith Mabbutt's group, which is Street Soccer, which is a charity looking after kids with issues.
What was that word again? Entrepreneur,
mate.
Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur,
okay,
yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yes. Do you know the French haven't got a word for that?
No. they don't need them. Everybody works for the state in France, don't they? They don't need entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Peugeot, Citroën, Renault, they're all owned by the state, aren't they? I think. Anyway, 31st of January, Wednesday. That's next Wednesday. Crikey. We're getting through January, aren't we, at a rate of knots.
We are.
Our Business Bunker hosts, Kent Space, are having their own networking evening. And it's the utterly brilliant Rowena Horton.
Or the wine lady.
The wine lady who will be introducing us to wines of the world.
Wow.
So it's next Wednesday, 31st of Jan, from 6 o'clock at the Letraset building here in Ashford, the offices of Kent Space. And please do RSVP if you are thinking of coming, because there's always nibbles and tidbits on the evening. So it's SM, that's Sue McGowan, at kentspace.co.uk. SM at kentspace.co.uk. Look forward to that one.
Thank you. Do you know what we're going to do now?
We're going to talk to our first guest.
We are. Do you know who it is?
Pete Bresser.
It is indeed. Pete, welcome onto the show.
Thank you.
You've been on the station before, haven't you? But you haven't been on the Bunker show before.
No, first time.
So it's the first time. So welcome. It's far too long. We should have invited you before and we've been very remiss. So why don't you kick off by telling the listener, and there is only one, about you and what you do.
Well, it's very simple, really. I'm just a photographer.
Just a photographer. Not just a photographer, though, really, are you, though, Pete? You're a bit of a good photographer.
Well, I try to be a good photographer.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that photography is, it's not just about picking up the camera and clicking the button. The important thing, really, is to be able to talk to people. I'm very good at that. I'm really good with people. Mm. And that makes things so much easier to get good quality photography, good headshots.
Is that, sorry to interrupt you, but is that because you can relax people and get them to be more natural when they're doing it? Because, you know, the big problem when you're having your photo took, Yeah, if you try to, you know, like me, I try to suck my stomach in and, you know, and pull my cheeks in and smile at the same time, and that normally results in some kind of bodily malfunction.
It's true. But the tenor underpants will help with that.
Yeah. Well, I've discovered that now, and I have a job lot of those.
That's exactly right. You've got to. I was telling somebody over the weekend. My biggest technique to help relax people is just keep talking at them, so they don't have time to process the fact they're having their photo taken. Mm. And if I just talk to them, make them laugh. I use a bit of humour. Mm. I might kid them on a bit. I might just tease them a little bit. All of those things are just things to make them stop thinking about the camera and just relax more. So they're concentrating on the relationship that we have rather than this big piece of glass and plastic.
This pose.
Yeah. So, and I mean, obviously, with pose, you have to get them to pose in certain ways. Mm. So there's techniques that I use to help them, and I will. As part of that dialogue, I give them a little bit of instruction, lift the chin slightly, tilt your head slightly, that kind of thing. And what you end up with are photographs that help to show the personality of the person come through. And that's what you're looking for. Mm. It's because if you just want a picture of your physog, then go down to one of those automated booths.
Yeah, passport photo.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's not what photography, that's not what headshot photography is.
Is that what you specialise in, headshots particularly?
I do a lot of different types of photography, but headshots and business portraits, portraiture generally, is something I'm very, very good at because I get the best out of the person that's sitting in front of me.
See, the interesting thing, there's a lot of use for headshots now as well, isn't there? You know, because of social media and all kinds of things. You know,
not just that. I mean, headshots themselves, for businesses specifically, if you think about the way that we talked about the research that you do or should be doing on a company, if you've got details of your main staff, your hot shots, whatever it happens to be, anybody that's customer facing, and let's face it, everybody is customer facing in today's business. So it makes it easier for you to go online and go, I don't know who it is I'm going to be speaking to, but let's just go and have a look at who they are. So they go to the About Us page, they pull up those images of the people and go, yeah, they look nice and friendly, look approachable. Those are people that I could work with, I could do business with them. That's the essence of what you're trying to do. But there's more than that. Photos for businesses should also incorporate the kind of things they're doing, not just their products and their, you know, the left-handed widget, but how they do it. And if you're a service-based organisation, you want to be able to show how you interact with the people that you're going to be your clients. So you can have those kind of things too.
It's interesting, isn't it? For a long time, I used to use a photograph of me that was taken by someone who I don't know. Right.
Right. Okay.
Let me tell you the story. It was 4 a.m. in a bar called the Indochine on Boat Dock, Singapore. Okay. And I was reclining on a sofa, and my camera was on the table. And a Japanese lady walked past, turned around, came back, picked my camera up, took a picture, and walked off. And I thought nothing of it until I got back to the UK. And it was the best photograph of me I've ever had. And I used that photograph on all kinds of things for years until people kept going, blimey, that must have been taken 20 years ago and you're still using it. And yeah, it's a good photo.
We were having a giggle about that last week, weren't we? You know, when you look on someone's LinkedIn profile and they've got this fabulous picture and then you meet them in the flesh and you're actually struggling to find them in the room full of people.
Yep.
Because they look nothing like that anymore. And, you know, so that's not a good thing, is it?
No, I hate that. I hate getting a good photo of me and then not being able to use it anymore because I've got older. I just detest
I'm
that.
With you. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
But we're all inherently vain, aren't we, on that level, I guess. So we all want to look our best. But there's nothing wrong with getting old and still looking your best or older, is there?
No, nothing at all. That's where you come in. Good photos. I mean, the time to change any kind of profile photo is if you've had some kind of change. So if you've changed your hairstyle, you've grown a beard, or
he's trying to be funny now, isn't he?
I'm not going to say there was. I did actually say if you'd lost an eye, but I mean, this. I don't want to say that kind of thing. Not on air. No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. I wasn't trying to. You look great, mate. You've always been good.
You.
But those are the things. The reason why you should change. Yeah. If you've not. I mean, actually, the truth is if. Once you get past your 40s, you don't change that much. But there are some things that you should change, as I say, for hairstyles and things like that.
Yeah.
My pet peeve at the moment is people that use their cell phone to take their photograph for their profile. And although these cameras are amazing, the cameras in the iPhone or any of the Android phones are fantastic. The quality is good. One of the things they do is they're all wide angle, and most people will take their photo at arm's length. Mm. And what that does is completely distort your features.
Does it make you look fatter?
Actually, it makes you look a bit thinner.
Oh, damn
it. It's true. But what it does
You couldn't look any thinner than you already are, Paul.
Yeah, oh, thank you, Martin. No, I was trying to come up with an excuse as to why I look so fat in all of my photographs, but it's not working,
that,
is
mate.
It?
Well, the thing about it, so it does, it makes the face look very thin, but what it does, it makes the nose look enormous.
Yeah.
And the chin, if you've really got a pointy chin, it makes it look absolutely huge.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
It's one of the, there's a guy that has just changed his profile photograph, actually. So he's big onto social media, and he used his selfie picture for his profile on his social media profile shots. And the first time I met him in the I didn't recognise him. Mm. I didn't recognise him because he actually was a bit chubby.
Now you've said it, I was never aware of that. Now you've said it, that resonates with me, and I've seen different photographs of people where I thought, blimey, you've got a big nose. But when I've actually met them, they haven't. So that's odd. Is there anything you can do about that?
Yes, you can get a professional to do it. That's the first thing.
See, I'll set them up. You
well done,
them
mate. Thank you for that. Yeah. But actually, there are some things you can do about it. So, if you're going to take the photograph yourself, prop the camera up on something and just move a little bit further away, because the further away you are, the less the distortion will be apparent. And obviously, that's going to take a lot of stuff around the outside, so you'll have to crop it in.
Yeah.
But of course, the quality of the photos from a phone now are so high, you can afford to do that.
Yeah.
Because the images that you use online specifically are very, very small.
Yeah.
Most of them are under 300 pixels across, which is tiny compared with the average size of image you get from a camera, which is probably going to be between 2,000 and 3,000 pixels on its longest side. So you've got a lot to play with there. Yeah.
Should you be slightly side on as well? Not kind of looking straight at the camera, square on, slightly offset?
There are some debates about what the best way is to appear in photographs. But one of the things that if you're very, very thin, if you're very, very slight, then you can have all of your body showing.
Telling him that.
But if you're a little bit more portly, like myself, what I tend to do is turn my body and also lean slightly towards the camera.
Lean in a bit.
So you lean in a little.
Okay, we'll try that later.
The reason you do that is because when you lean in, your head, so your shoulder drops, your head comes up. What it does, it tightens all the skin underneath the chin.
Okay.
And that helps to remove some of the more...
Double chinny stuff.
Yeah, the double chinny
stuff. Can I ask you about stripes as well? Because Paul's got this awful stripy boater jacket that he wears. And I never thought that was very flattering on him. But what's your view on stripes?
Yeah, clothing is one of those areas. If you're
sorry, Paul.
Particularly,
that's
with,
right. I didn't realise you followed my fashion that much. Opinion. Yeah,
just getting my own back on you there.
Okay. I didn't realise he came in here going, "Oh, he doesn't look very good today."
He's just got your best interests at heart.
Yeah, obviously.
But it's a mate thing. Yeah,
it's a good job that we're on the radio, though. Wearing what you are today, though, Paul.
What's wrong with that?
Well, the mankini just doesn't go.
Oh, the mankini. Yeah. Well, I thought you weren't going to mention that.
But stripes are very difficult. If you're sort of slightly more rounded, stripes sort of bow, don't they? And then they go in and out, and they're quite obvious.
But the rule of thumb with clothing, if you're having shots, particularly profile shots, is to make that clothing less apparent.
Right.
So what you want to do is have that fade away, so that you're not concentrating on the clothing. So anything that's highly patterned is...
So you want something plain and dark, like a typical business suit in navy or grey or black.
Yeah, that can work. The other thing about it is you've got to remember what you're trying to do is get people to recognise you and what you do. So when you first go to see a new client or whatever, that's the kind of thing. When you go in, you're going to make an impression. So if you normally wear a jacket and a tie, wear the jacket and the tie in the photo. If you go in,
that's good advice, isn't it? Don't be something different.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's be who you are.
Be who.
So
you
I wear the snorkel and flippers. Yes.
That could work.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, I mean, that, that's the important thing. Is that, but stripes, any fact, anything that's highly patterned can detract away from the central part of
I guess that's why black becomes the default for so many people, doesn't it? Because it's just such a, it's a sort of shrinking colour, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. And it's very easy to wear, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it's it also people put a lot of their photos up and they might be glugging down a pint of beer or something like that. And that's
the other one of my pet hates is the photograph. So there are a number of things that I that drive me crazy. Mm. So the first thing is appearing as a professional in something like LinkedIn, and your profile shows you with a bottle of red in one hand, glass in the other, and a very, very ruddy face.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, unless you're a publican, really, that's not really a good look.
Mm.
The other thing is that drives me even more. But
good feeling, but not a good look.
No, it's great feeling, but not a good look. No, is the other one is if you're appearing with somebody else in that photo, how is somebody supposed to know it's you?
Which one's you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you get more of an indication if you're posing with the dog or the cat or whatever, obviously. Yeah. But again, it takes the eye away from what should be the main purpose of that photo, which is to show you how you look and how you're going to, you know, how you come over as a professional, how you come over as being approachable and so on.
Yes. I suppose that's all very good if you run a cattery or kennels of some kind, but if you're just, sometimes they use a child's image as well rather than their own, so yeah, it's not, doesn't...
I think for social media is a lot of people's worst enemy, isn't it? Because not only are you that much more visible anyway, but, you know, you're trying to kind of reconcile the person on Facebook with the person that's in business on LinkedIn.
But Pete's stuff that people post. Pete's absolutely right. I mean, funnily enough, this all ties into the conversation we've been having before we were on air and while we first came on air. What we're trying to do here with social media or any other form of promotion using a photograph of oneself is you're trying to establish an image and a position in the marketplace, yeah? Because we're talking about work-related photographs here rather than, you know, holiday snaps.
Well, you're trying to create a rapport.
Yeah.
Because that photo on your LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, that's your avatar.
Mm. Yeah.
That when somebody looks at photo, we really haven't developed that far away from caveman. You know, the brain still it doesn't see a photograph. It sees a person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the brain goes, that's a person. Mm. So what we've got to do is show ourselves as being approachable and friendly.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the
think things of like ourselves that. As brands.
It is. You know, you're trying to present yourself in the best possible way. You want to be open,
but you want to be recognised for being you.
And you absolutely.
So that toupee you've got, for example,
I only wear that on eHarmony or something.
Oh, okay, right.
That's his Tinder. That's his Tinder one. That
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
But that's
but of course, I just like, in case certain people are listening, that that is not happening anymore.
You mean you're not on the market anymore?
No.
No, on the Tinder market.
No, I've never been on the Tinder market. But
swipe left.
Don't forget, you've got a right to be forgotten now. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're right. I mean, you want to come over the best you possibly can. So you want to be able to see your face in that image. And, of course, when it's on a social media profile, there's not that much space to see. So he just really wants to be the head and shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some exceptions. If you work in an area where you could be working in as a physical instructor, if you're a personal trainer and so on, you might want to do it without any, you know, so you might want to be a bit more buff in those photographs. Mm. You want to come over that day. And that's fine because that is on message.
It's relevant, yeah.
Yeah.
Toned pull.
Yeah, toned. I'll get my shirt off in the next one.
Yeah.
rippling muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nipple tassels.
I didn't say nipple tassels, but now you mentioned it. But I never mind doing photographs like that. I think those are, you know, they add an extra dimension to it.
Yeah.
You know, if it adds an extra dimension to that photograph, then so much the better.
Okay. Well, that's the ultimate kind of stamp of, you know, I know what I'm talking about because I'm ripped, isn't it? You know, I mean, it just...
Yeah, sure.
Not me personally, obviously.
No, I was trying to factor that in, yeah. I was going, but, really?
You know, I knew we were talking hypothetically.
Yeah.
But that is the kind of the perfect embodiment of you living your brand, isn't it? You know? Because you are your brand.
Exactly. And, one of the things it's very visual, so you're much more likely to buy, the time of a personal trainer. If you look at them and go, yeah, that that.
Well, let's put Pete on the spot here, because that's an easy one.
You want to get your shirt off?
No. No, that's an easy one. But let's look at something that isn't quite so easy to kind of communicate. So if you're a business coach, for example, how do you communicate to someone that actually you can be trusted, that you know your stuff? You know, what sort of look communicates that as a business coach? Because that's a very difficult brief, isn't it? You know, how do you come across as, you know, credible if you're a business coach, as opposed to, you know, somebody that's ripped because they're a fitness coach? That's a difficult one, isn't
it? I think the important thing with a business coach, one of the points about them is they are listening to your business first,
right,
before they can make any recommendations on how to proceed. So the important thing in that is you want to be seen as open and in listening mode.
And there's
an incredibly simple thing that you can do to make yourself as if you're listening. And we do this naturally. Mm. This is something we all do. Mm. And that is to just tilt the head slightly. Mm. If you just tilt the head, it means it's a non-verbal piece of communication to show that you're in listening mode.
It's reflective
perhaps
listening, isn't it?
Not quite as
not
much
quite
as
like that. Yeah. Who just looks like a Cyberman that's been run over by a Dalek.
No,
yeah.
I went swimming this morning. I've still got some
water in
my
your
ear.
Yeah.
Just trying to get it out. That is a really good tip.
All of these things. This is why you go to a professional, really, because you know, if they're somebody like me, they understand the importance of posing. Mm. And getting just small nuances, which will then change the way that you look in those photos. Mm. So I mentioned earlier about you know, just lifting the chin, which removes the, you know, tightens up the skin. We won't say it gets rid of the double chin, but what it does do is tighten that skin, so it just looks a little bit more attractive. But one of the other things about leaning forward is it makes you look more assertive. Mm. Well, that's a fantastic thing to do for your sales team. Mm. Get them to look like that, and suddenly they, you know, it just changes the dynamic in the picture.
Cool, Pete. We could talk about
it's
this forever.
Isn't it?
Yeah, sadly we've run out of time on this segment, but do stay with us, and I'm sure we'll revisit some of this. Mm. For the moment, though, if people want to find out how to engage you, find out more about what you do, use your services, what's the best way to do that?
Well, I'm very responsive on email, so that's Pete@BressaPhotos.com. But the website is there, BressaPhotos.com. In fact, all the social media platforms I use exactly the same handle, which is @BressaPhotos.
Fantastic. And there is a link on the Kent Business Radio website to Pete's website, and that will stay there forever. For the moment, Pete, thank you so much for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Pete Bresser, Bresser Photography.
Well done, Pete. Excellent.
Nice one. Mm-hmm. Do you know what?
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you a news roundup. And I've got a few things to tell you about here. We've got LinkedIn for Business, an intensive workshop that will transform how you get new customers. Funny enough, having just talked to Pete about this, so once you've done the workshop, you can then go to Pete and get your photographs done for this.
Perfect.
It's being presented by Jade Pluck. It's on the 31st of January at Kings Hill. And all the details for this can be found on kentbusinessradio.co.uk website under the Best Business category. You can also register there for the Canterbury Business Awards. So if you're in Canterbury or East Kent and you want to be nominated for one of the dozen or so categories, you can do that. And the awards ceremony is taking place on the 29th of March at the County Cricket Ground. That's the Spitfire Ground, St. Lawrence. There's also the Maidstone Business Awards, which now also include, as well as Maidstone and Mid-Kent, Kings Hill, Westmorling and Eastmorling. And the presentation ceremony for that takes place on the 26th of June at the Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne.
I think that one of the most common used words at the moment in the marketplace seems to be productivity.
Yep.
So if it's not Brexit, it's productivity. We won't go near Brexit, but let's talk about productivity. So Linda Garcia, who is a good friend of Business Bunker, is launching a brand new productivity to profit focused series of workshops this year.
Fantastic.
And the whole idea behind that is to take people who are perhaps leaders of organisations or managers in businesses who haven't got the first idea about how to lead or manage staff. A lot of people think that that's just, you know, you're either kind of born with that or you're not. But of course, all good leaders, although they exhibit certain kind of key characteristics, they've all been trained to exhibit those characteristics.
The problem with leadership in a corporate setting in this country is we use it as a reward. We take exactly. someone that's really good at a technical function and make them a manager.
Promote them, yeah.
And that doesn't work.
Yeah. So is it any wonder that we end up with businesses that all of a sudden go from being quite a kind of efficient, productive vehicle to something that is actually now not working anymore because, you know, that key individual's been taken out. So what Linda does is she focuses in on individuals as leaders or also managers and teams of managers in particular. And she takes them through a proven process to actually help them drive the productivity that's needed in the businesses that they're actually working in. So it's a very important, I think, much overlooked aspect of management. And she's running a course on this. The easiest way to find out more information is to have a look on our website, Supply My Business. All the information is on there. But if you are perhaps a business that's become a bit top-heavy in terms of the number of staff that you've got working for you, and because labour has been so cheap, I think, again, that's been one of our kind of enemies to productivity in many ways, because we've just thrown bodies at problems, as opposed to thinking of more efficient solutions to kind of work around those problems. Take a look at this. It's a very worthwhile course, and Linda Garcia is running that.
And Linda's very good.
She's brilliant, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. The new £10 note, or the old £10 note that featured Charles Darwin, will be withdrawn from circulation on Thursday, the 1st of March. The Bank of England has announced, and after this date, businesses and the public will no longer have to accept the Darwin note, and the new plastic note featuring Jane Austen will be the only £10 note which is legal tender. If you want to find out more, you can visit the Bank of England website to find out more.
Another friend of Business Bunker, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, at Gemma Fairhay on the Twitter, is running another one of her very popular HR for non-HR managers courses. Okay. So if, as in many businesses, there aren't necessarily dedicated people that do specific functions and only that function in business. I mean, if you think about your own business for a moment, you probably do five or six job roles within that business. And HR law, I think, is one that you can't really afford to get wrong. Particularly if you are managing staff, if you have staff in your business. So Gemma will put you through the basics of how to manage staff and make sure that you are totally compliant with the law. It's a series of workshops run bi-weekly. It's five workshops over 10 weeks. You can find out more information on Gemma's website, orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. This Thursday, the 25th of January, I'm running a Skills 3030 at Dartford. It's a network and inspire the next generations from 9:30 a.m. till 11:30 at the Lee Academy. It's completely free. What we do is we take 30 businesses in to meet 30 A-level students and talk about the world of work. The businesses here talks from the Kent Supported Employment Group, Kent Apprenticeship Group, and a few other people, while the students get workshops on how to present themselves, both verbally, in dress, and in writing. And then we have speed networking where the students and the businesses get to talk to each other about the world of work. Fantastic event, loads of good stuff. And the next one is this Thursday. The last time I looked, we had 25 people booked, so I need five more businesses, please. So if you want to come along, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, click on the FSB tab, and then there's a 3030 box there where you can reserve your free ticket to come along. So we'd like to see you there.
I'm going to stick with the HR topic.
So you're not going to read any of my emails then?
No, because I've got lots of other stuff to read out.
Okay.
I will get round to them.
Oh, thank you. Well, we've got 2 minutes before the break.
On the ground today.
Yeah.
Managing staff in a business is one thing, but also there's the whole kind of admin side of that in terms of, you know, contracts, for example, employee handbooks, all that kind of bread and butter stuff that businesses have to tick and have in place. And we had a guest on just before Christmas, Simon Morgan of the HR department.
We did indeed.
And Simon's actually offering businesses in Kent a free review of all their employment law documentation. So everything that you should have in place, have you got it? Does it tick the box? Yes or no? And he's doing that free of charge if you get in touch with him. It's on our website on Supply My Business, or you can just contact Simon Morgan at the HR department. So, you know, why not?
Fantastic. You can apply now for innovation loans. Small businesses with groundbreaking ideas can now apply for a new innovation loan from the UK's Innovation Agency to support their growth. This is part of an innovation loans pilot worth £50 million. The first competition, which is worth £10 million, is for SMEs which want help overcoming barriers to scaling up innovation in infrastructure systems. You can apply now and find out more about the loan pilot by going to www.gov.uk/guidance/innovation loans.
I'm going to lighten the mood slightly.
Oh,
just,
good.
Just to please you.
Thank you.
Kent Crisps.
Yeah.
Are excited to be adding ham and mustard flavour to their current range of crisps.
Way.
Wow. I love ham and mustard.
Yeah.
Kent Crisps, I believe they're actually based at Quicks Park.
They
down
are
in,
indeed.
Down in Thanet, aren't they?
They are indeed.
So they're available in all sorts of outlets all over Kent, so keep a lookout for ham and mustard flavour Kent Crisps coming soon to an outlet near you.
Fabuloso.
Channel Radio. Channel Radio News Update. Channel Radio News Update.
That brings us to the end of our news roundup for another week. We're going to have the mid-show break, and we're going to join John and the team over in the Channel Radio newsroom. And then we come back. We've got another brilliant guest to talk to you all. So see you all soon.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.
Theresa May has criticised Boris Johnson for revealing his plans to tell the Cabinet about NHS funding. Prime Minister's spokesman has said the discussion for Cabinet sessions should remain private. The Foreign Secretary had called for up to £5 billion to be provided for the National Health Service. A tsunami warning remains in place for Alaska but no longer applies to the rest of the west coast of the United States. A magnitude 7.9 quake which struck out at sea is one of the largest in US history. People in Alaska have been told to get to higher ground. Sainsbury's has announced it's to cut thousands of management jobs. The move comes after a similar move from Tesco. The man accused of carrying out a truck attack in Stockholm last year is expected to be formally charged at the end of the month. Rakhmat Akilov is alleged to have driven a truck down a busy street in the Swedish capital, killing five people. And the Oscar nominations have been announced. Gary Oldman's up for Best Actor for his portrayal of Sir Winston Churchill in The Darkest Hour. The British actor is the...